What's up, Who Dat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast. What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Network of Podcasts. I'm your host, Jeff, and I am sober as can be, but I will tell you, have you seen these Southern Comfort in a can pre-mixed malt liquor beverages? Like a lemon lime.
Malt liquor.
I know, right? What the hell, that stuff is malt liquor. Anyway, had one of those, a couple of those yesterday. They're all right, but I ended up drinking some Juicifer from Covington, right? Gnarly Barley makes it.
Yeah. It's a woman drink.
What?
It's a woman drink.
Juicifer?
Just messing.
All right. Anyway, this was a hard game to watch. This was a very ugly performance. This was everything catching up with the Saints. The instant reaction said it all. The Saints were pounded into submission. The Panthers did to us what we did to Green Bay the week before. And I think a few people have shared the Jim Mora rant from way back when, and it was very prophetic that he would know what to say after this game 30 years later.
Well, what happened was that second game, we got our ass kicked. Or the second half, we just got our ass totally kicked. We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We sucked. The second half, we sucked. We couldn't stop the run. Every time they got the ball, they went down and got points. We got our ass totally kicked in the second half. That's what it boiled down to. It was a horse performance in the second half. Horse. I'm totally embarrassed and totally ashamed. Coaching did a horrible job. The players did a horrible job. We got our ass kicked in that second half. It sucked. It stunk.
We're going to try and get through this. I know people are angry. People may be looking for answers. People probably already know the answers. So this might be the shortest game recap ever. And maybe we'll get into a good fight because James and Ben are both here. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Yeah, round two of fisticuffs coming up. Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I do not have a number right now, but I do plan on drinking later. And once I start drinking, I'm just going to keep pounding.
All right. James, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I am very, very sober this evening. I was at a wedding on Saturday and I drank a lot. So I'm going to take a week off.
Very good. Ben, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm going to go for a couple of beers this evening. And the number two is more than our number one wide receiver got this week in catching. So let's start with that.
Okay. Shots firing out the gate. And Wes, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I've got no number. Going to enjoy the Peyton and Eli show tonight. And then me and my wife will go to the bedroom and I'm going to keep pounding.
There you go.
All right. Let me pull up the game here as we get into the game recap. So like Jim Mora said, we couldn't block, we couldn't tackle, we couldn't catch the ball. We made up for it by not being able to do anything.
Peyton Turner.
There's your good. Looked good. Impressed.
The defense in general did not play a bad game. I think it's tough to realize that after how bad the first half was. But for considering the defense was on the field for two-thirds of the game, they should have played a lot, should have been a lot worse. And we're talking about, I think, Dennis Allen definitely did a lot at halftime that made the second half better to stomach. But we're talking about our best defensive lineman, Onyemata's not playing, but arguably is our best defensive end or should be, Marcus Davenport, we expected coming this season, not playing. Quan Alexander, who's our best cover linebacker, but definitely second best linebacker. Lattimore, who just got paid $100 million, isn't playing. And then CJ GJ, who's maybe our most energetic player, along with DeMario Davis. Those five people not playing. And the way this defense rebounded in the second half and actually made it to where the offense doing anything could have made it a game is still impressive. And after what our defense did in the first game, there's a lot to we can do enough on offense to keep this defense on the field. And our defense could be really good this year.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, only giving up 26 points after missing all of those players is pretty darn good. I mean, if you look at you know, and you know, we had, you know, the offense gave up the ball a couple of times and maybe put them, you know, in kind of short fields. And kind of like Wes saying, they were on the field a lot. The drives were lengthy. They didn't give up any. Yeah, they didn't give up any big plays. It was a lot of little kind of short slant over the middle plays. You know, their offensive coordinator definitely kind of knew where to poke at. I'm having Joe Brady. Yes, couldn't think of his name. Joe Brady knew where to go with the ball. To only give up 26 after having all those people out and to have a lot of coaches missing, I think speaks kind of volumes for our defense as far as the rest of the year goes.
To your point, Wes, too, about the second half adjustments. I mean, you're talking about like 9 points given up, no points in the third quarter, all, you know, those 9 points in the fourth quarter, which by then we'd pretty much given up. So you're right. Like, considering the hand we were dealt, couldn't ask for more from
No. With five real starters, like not just starters, but five of your best players missing, turnaround. And really it was 17 points through 85% of the game. At the end, they were just, I mean, dog tired. There was nothing they could do.
It's because they were wearing black jerseys.
And then there was that.
Hands on their hips.
I said, let's talk about their pants, though.
The black.
Gun's not here.
The black and the gold combination, I don't like. I'm just going to say that. We never seem to play well with the black and gold. The
khaki combination?
Talking about, we won the NFC Championship game wearing the black and the
gold. Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody.
Yeah, but we haven't played well in it recently.
Yesterday.
Is that not recently?
It's about as recent as you could get. So now let's look at the offensive side of the ball. And
which is also the offensive side of the ball.
It is very offensive.
You got any gum?
You need to welcome Jason. You need to welcome Jason to the show.
Oh, Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I have no number. I had a beer at lunch, but I'm actually going to go ahead and get a glass of wine down Monday. So I'm probably not going to have a number because I basically spent the last 3 days drinking. So it would be impossible for me to get a high number today, I think.
So a real quick question. So those of you not, if this makes the edit, Wes and James, are you laughing for the same reason I'm laughing? About the face, because that's the same face that was made last week that we ended up cracking us up when I made the comment about the analysis.
I was laughing because I thought he was just there for the game, but apparently Uncle Cracker is still at Jason's house, and I just saw him walk out the back door again. So I just
he leaves tomorrow. He leaves tomorrow.
He's got somebody with blonde hair.
It's white.
Oh. Hair. Yeah.
Oh, I can't.
They said Uncle Cracker. Good thing he's got headphones on.
Right. You're like, what are they calling me?
All right.
No, it's our buddy from high school who's gone.
I know you're all trying. Oh, is that Scott Jenkins?
That is. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What's up? You're not letting him listen? Jake's listening.
Oh, I said he could do it. He could put it on his phone. If he wants to get Zoom on his phone, he could hop in. He didn't want
to. Does he have anything interesting to say?
Probably not. He's gearing up for his beloved Packers to play tonight. So.
Oh, okay. No, he's not welcome.
Hey, we can talk about the Packers game and forget this game ever happened. Let's just do that.
Yeah, actually, you know, let's go talk.
Get him on.
I was going to say, we're still talking about this game. I haven't paid attention to any NFL today, and it's been kind of nice.
But. Talk about we had offensive. A lively debate in our group chat this morning about kind of what caused this game to go the way that it did. And there's things you can point at, and those things are including, but not limited to, and I'm going to ask everybody to kind of rank the reasons, like what was the most contributing factor? Was it coaches being sick? Was it players being out on the offensive side of the ball? Was it players being out on the defensive side of the ball? Was it the fact that the wide receivers couldn't get open? Was it Jameis Winston just isn't what you thought he was? What is rank the reasons why we lost this game? What was the most?
Offensive line was definitely the biggest contributor. I can't, I can't speak on the coaching because I'm not on the sideline to know how much of an impact that had or didn't have. I mean, it looked like it could have had some because we didn't make as many adjustments as maybe we could have or should have. So it's hard. Well, but it's just hard for me to say, yeah, it was the coaching. But if we come back next week and all our coaches are there and we play, 10 times better, then I could say, yeah, it was probably the coaching. But the offensive line was garbage. Like, that's got to be probably so top.
So our offensive line we believe is one of the few best in the league, had the third worst offensive line performance in the last 12 years. Jameis Winston was pressured on 64% of his dropbacks, 18 of 28. So to put in contrast, the 64%, Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl was pressured on 52% of his dropbacks, and most people consider that to be like the worst offensive line performance they had ever seen. And I mean, this was much worse. But since they started tracking this in 2009, it's the third worst in history allowing pressures on a quarterback. And I mean, we watched the game. It was not pressures because Jameis was just holding the ball all day. I mean, it was pretty ridiculous. And I don't want to make excuses for once the game got out of hand of why he threw interceptions. I think he made bad decisions. But at some point, I'm pretty sure it occurs in his head, we've either got to do something miraculous or we have 0 points.
Right.
And it's the fourth quarter. At some point, something miraculous has happened. I got to just throw the ball. Now, again, I don't think that's the right way of thinking necessarily, but I can sort of get it. And I hope that was due to coaching. Well, I was going to agree with Scott. I think it's our offensive line, but that has to be due to coaching. Our offensive line that's maybe the best in the league and looked like it last week didn't just suddenly become the worst offensive line in the entire NFL. Think about it.
When you come back to the sideline, there's nobody there to tell you what they're seeing.
Ian Book.
Hey guys, and I mean, just watch Last Chance U on Netflix and tell me that coaching doesn't make a difference. I mean, it's not just the adjustments and seeing that from another point of view and being able to give you that different, adjustments to make, but it's also the motivating factor that there's nobody on the sideline to pick these guys up and to tell them forget and to be a goldfish. There's none of that is happening. So the guys, your morale is down. You got nothing bringing you back up, and nobody's spending time talking to you and coaching you through the game to make the adjustments. I think that's a huge part of why they continued to play poorly throughout the entire game.
But I think you can also chuck injuries in with the offensive line struggles as well, because obviously McCoy wasn't playing, so Ruiz had to step in, and then Throckmorton and or Hurst, whenever that change took place. McCoy,
and then Pete, whoa.
Yeah, but McCoy
for Pete to play like himself.
Yeah, no, true. But McCoy, they've said, has taken over the calling of the adjustments pre-snap from Breeze. Breeze used to do that, but obviously that's gone to McCoy now. He's gone. Ruiz hasn't played a snap at center in the NFL before jumping into the game last week. He's not going to be able to take on the calling of the protections. So that then falls on the quarterback to do it. And you could see that there was communication problems between Jameis Winston and the offensive line and the receivers. Now, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that the Carolina Stadium's too loud for people to hear, but there was something that wasn't quite right there with the pre-snap adjustments and and the communication between the quarterback and the line and the receivers.
I think they were distracted by the AR Panther.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
The hairless.
Yes.
James, you're correct. I mean, we're talking about Drew Brees has been calling the protections for 15 years. Over the last couple of years, I believe that he's teaching McCoy how to do it. But during this offseason, McCoy was doing it, and Will Clapp was the only person playing center that's still on the team. We heard last week, Cesar Ruiz said during the entire offseason, he snapped the ball to Jameis 3 times. And it was just like random, just weird things. It wasn't like they were really working on it. Since the last season and this year, he snapped it to him 3 times and then once before the game started. Now, why it worked last week, I have no idea. I'm guessing coaching. But
yeah,
we went from multiple people who were trained to call out the defense to nobody that is on our starting roster this week has been properly trained how to call out the defensive alignment.
That's a mess.
I'm not worried about the offensive line. I think this was a strange game. I think we'll go back to looking like the offensive line we were with the coaching back. I really do believe that. I am not too... The offensive line is not what I'm worried about with this team.
This is the game, the lay an egg game that I was fearful could have happened last week because of all the craziness of the last month.
Yeah.
I mean, if now we can't correct it, then that's a big problem. But this is kind of...
Do you have any concern that... All right, so you said Drew Brees was calling the shots for 15 years, and now we need the center to call the assignments. Is Jameis capable of picking that up later?
I think most teams do have their centers call them. It's okay. That's the typical way of doing it. Drew is, I mean, there's some of these great quarterbacks.
Drew's a freak.
Do it. Yeah.
So what do you think? So we all heard what Peyton and Eli and Russell Wilson were saying about Derek Carr and the Raiders last week. What do you think they would have said if yesterday's game was the Manning game? What would they have said about the Saints?
I mean, kind of what we said. The offensive line is garbage, and I mean, I don't know what else. And they probably would have talked about the coaching. I mean, I don't know what else you want to.
They would have said the same thing we all said when we saw it. It was a shit performance of a game.
I think Peyton would have been extremely sympathetic to Jameis' situation.
Yeah.
Yesterday. I mean, honestly, like where I think he will be hard on quarterbacks when they're screwing up. I think he would have said those throws that Jameis did were really dumb. But I think that on the pressures, I think he would have been extremely sympathetic.
Yeah.
Just desperation throws, wasn't it? It really was just desperation.
It got there.
Yeah.
All right. So then that's really the only things that were contributing factors to the Saints losing is
being away from home for as long as they have been. That's another factor. You know, it's been a tough week with all the injuries and the COVID and things like that. They just looked
worn out. The adrenaline had worn off. It's just you can only carry yourself for so long like that. Like I said, there's a nice big pie of all the different things that contributed to yesterday's win. Sure, the offensive line probably gets the biggest piece of the pie. All the dudes being out hurt. And the coach is being hurt. I mean, that's clearly your top three.
That's 98% of your pie. Right.
And then you sprinkle in the whole being on the road for a few days. You sprinkle in whatever else you want to sprinkle in.
Lack Keep of pounding. Talent at certain wide receiver group.
That's definitely in there as well. It's all in there. It's all in there. It all contributes.
Honestly, I'm not just taking the piss out, James. I know this is Wine's chat. I'm not just taking the piss. But honestly, is no one else got the concerns that I have going forward about this group?
I had it all off season.
So James is shaking his head for listeners because that's good podcast material. Jeff, do you have those concerns?
He's laughing and we're laughing.
I think I'll probably land in the middle of where you and James are. If James says there's no problem with our receivers and you're saying our receivers are the worst in the history of the NFL, I think it's somewhere in between. And I'm assuming that you are talking about the current active receivers, not including Michael Thomas.
I believe also when we've got Michael Thomas left, like comes back, I still, and Tre'Quan Smith coming back, I'm still concerned.
So that's where I differ. I think Michael Thomas makes everybody better because you're shifting the coverage. Say maybe Callaway is not a number one, even though he wears it. But I still think it's too early to tell if Callaway is a bust or if Callaway, what did you see in preseason? Like, how did he do that in preseason if he's not any good?
Because the people he was playing against on the log were employed by any NFL teams.
No. Look, he played well last year when he wasn't a number one.
He was number three or four, wasn't he?
No, he was two behind Sanders.
He got forced into number one or number two because of all the injuries.
Right, but I mean, behind Sanders, he was pretty much a two.
Oh yeah, Tre'Quan.
Tre'Quan exactly. Was a two.
Exactly.
So, just to answer the preseason question, Callaway in the preseason, the teams that are on defense weren't working to beat the Saints. They were working to learn who should be on their team. They weren't game planning. How do we take away Marquez Callaway from a team? They were like, put a guy out there. Let's see what he does. And let's, you know, they weren't game planning that. In this game, one of their things is, okay, that's their number one receiver. We can't let him throw the ball downfield to him.
We couldn't throw the ball downfield.
I think that's now having said that, Callaway's not a number one receiver. He shouldn't be. He wasn't draft. He was just, he might be someday, but it was just a year ago. He was an undrafted free agent. If he's the number one receiver a year and a half later, then every GM in the in football should be fired. I mean, so there's he's not there yet. Now, maybe he will be, but also I don't think that yesterday is a game to judge this on because the quarterback didn't have time to throw the damn ball. So I don't know if it mattered yesterday who our receivers were. I'm not sure if we put the Chiefs receivers in as our receivers yesterday, if it makes a huge difference. Now, I think that our receiving crew right now, the five guys that we have, is one of the worst looking groups as far as name recognition and draft status and all that that you could possibly put together. We as Saints fans probably know them better than anybody else and hope that they're better than that. And I definitely think that when Thomas and Traquan Smith, if they're both back healthy, changes everything. Because that's your number one and your number two. That's not your number one and your number four, your two and your five. That's one and two.
Putting a lot of faith in old Traquan.
All respect to Callaway. That's one and two.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. The faith in Traquan. I don't have
I don't know if either one of them is going to be healthy. We thought Thomas was going to be healthy last year after 3 weeks.
And if having the bad offensive line was possibly a result of coaching or lack thereof, could the wide receiver issue be possibly from yesterday due to lack of coaching?
Same problem.
When you're making adjustments and your offensive line is playing like garbage, the typical thing to do is to change your offensive scheme a little bit to where you're running shorter passing routes, you're running more slants, you're running screens, draws, things like that. You know, those adjustments really weren't made, and it could be because of lack of coaching.
Yeah, it was a big fucking dud.
It was.
Did I hear correctly that like the equipment manager was playing the part of one of the assistant coaches?
Did we have the water boy calling?
Bushrod was coaching the tight ends.
Yeah, I mean,
but also I believe there was some sort of like person that just travels with the team that was given some sort of responsibility.
Yeah, it's like Ted Lasso promoting Nate to assistant coach.
I don't know if we need 12 coaches. Like if next year during the whole offseason they made the rule like, hey, you can only have six offensive coaches and you got to go all offseason practicing with six coaches, I'm sure we'd figure that out. But what we're used to is 12, and going from 12 to 5 is an enormous thing. I mean, even if you didn't need 12, I think we probably do need 12. It looked like yesterday we need 100. Well,
because aren't the coaches also looking at things and reporting in what they're seeing? Like that goes into game adjustments as well. I mean, you've gone from how many guys were out? Eight?
Yeah. Well, seven offensive, one defensive.
Okay, so that's 14 eyeballs, seven brains. I mean, think about it. Like, Pete, guys are assigned probably to watch specific players for specific things, and you've lost that insight.
And I don't understand why they couldn't be like all put in a booth or put like in a truck, seriously, like outside of the stadium with a headset and a TV and say, you know, this, because they're sitting at home watching it. I guarantee
suspended
you
in a cage above the 50-yard line.
Let them zoom in on a Zoom call.
Exactly.
The little blue tablets.
Put them in a truck like they have for the TV crew, you know, that sits in a truck outside with all their monitors directing the game.
You could have sat them in our end zone for all the times we went near it yesterday.
That's good.
But let's go to New England. Let's hopefully get these coaches back. Any word on any COVID testing today so far?
No, I haven't heard anything.
So let's fingers crossed. And, you know, we're getting back quickly this week.
And another thing we talked about was, you know, the team hasn't been home in a month.
Yeah,
Jason brought that up.
They're displaced, and I think all that starts adding up after a while.
Hey, yeah.
So I've chalked this one up to an anomaly. I don't think it's cause to pull the fire alarm. It's now. Let's see what happens next week, and then we are hopefully just a few games left before we start to get the return of a bunch of players as well. Or next week we should get a few back, right? From this week.
Yeah. Awesome. We want to be 500 when we get Thomas and Onyemata back. Yeah. That's where we want to be.
It does what pisses me off the most, what gives me the red ass, is that half of our team, half of our payroll is on the bench because they're hurt and they can't be healthy.
Or they're Nate Taysom Hill.
Right. But it's like, I don't know. Like, I get you can't control that, but then again, it just feels like the Saints are injury riddled for the past 10 years. I mean, it just, what is the
I think, to be fair, I do think the last couple of years we haven't. I think last year we were hit a little bit, but the last couple of years before that, I thought we were very lucky with injuries, to be fair. The years of the NFC Championship game against the Rams, I thought we were quite healthy throughout that year.
That one.
I mean, we do have the best record in football over the last few years, so I'm not sure how much we can
Yeah, but it's caught up with you. I mean, you can miss three guys, four guys, but half of a team. Like, we're missing, like, how'd you say, 5, 6, 7 guys on defense? That's half your defense. Mm.
You know, yeah. We talked about going into the season that, you know, we were standing at a lot of places, and if we got injuries, it was gonna, you're gonna see the effects, and that's kind of
But the best thing is none of these yet are season-ending injuries. That's the best thing.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, you look at a team like Baltimore who lost, you know, both their starting running backs, you know, and a defensive player. I mean, injuries just happen. It's just who can have the least amount and who can adjust from
manage.
We had 8 starters missing yesterday. You take 8 starters out of any team in the NFL.
Absolutely.
They're gonna struggle.
And to be fair, Onyemata's not injured, and Michael Thomas, it's really not an injury either. He just had a delayed surgery by 8 months.
Oh, his lungs are injured.
It's a mental injury.
Yeah, kicked out of his apartment.
And look, you know, I hate to bring this up, but we could still see suspensions for Lattimore and for, you know, Harris. And...
Not now, Scott. Not now.
Get the fuck out of this.
Wait till after a win.
Yes, it's Scott.
Just saying.
No, I'm sorry. The negativity belongs on Dave Romero's show.
Okay. All right. But, I mean, wouldn't it be very NFL if we get all these players back after the bye and they're like, Lattimore suspended.
That would Harris be very suspended.
I mean, that would be very Goodell, right?
Right. He's intentionally waiting.
Oh, yeah. So
he doesn't need to do it now. He's like, oh, shit, I don't have to do anything to hurt these guys.
And having said that, talking about the cornerbacks, I don't think – I realize that Adebo was involved in a lot of, like, passes that were caught, but he was near receivers the whole time. He was He didn't look terrible yesterday. Adebo, Trufant, and Roby all definitely looked like they could fill a second cornerback role. I don't know if any of them need to be the number one cornerback on the team. Having said that, Roby got a sack and also only gave up one catch. And Trufant looked really good on a few plays. So,
all of them looked good
when we're just talking about what they did.
I mean, I'm glad you said that because I felt like a lot of those catches, it was good coverage. Under normal circumstances, they would have batted that ball away. The receiver would have dropped the ball. But, like, you got to give credit to the Panthers. Sam Darnold was like threading needles. I mean, he was throwing like Drew Brees.
Is he just proving how poor New York actually are? I mean, especially because Zach Wilson at the weekend.
He could have just had a good game. Oh my God. I mean, he could just had a good game. You know,
he had a great game of his life. He was inspired. You know? Again, Panthers came ready. That's another part. We say all these reasons why we lost and it's all Saints related, but don't forget the Panthers played a part in winning that game too.
That's a very good defense, and it's a second year they're together now. And even Breeze said it took them time to adapt to that Panthers defense last year, and they've got a second year now. They've added more pieces to it. They're gonna get better. Look how many years it's taken us under Dennis Allen to get where we are. You know, the Panthers are drafted heavy. It wasn't almost immediate. It took a year or two.
Allen's impact was right away.
Right away.
I don't know what you're talking about. Fair, it's not hard to a Rob Ryan defense to get better immediately, is it? Yeah, that defense was awful.
The Ben's point gets blown out of the water and immediately folds. I like it.
Sounds like a Saints reporter.
Are you an official Saints reporter, Ben?
I think, to be fair, Darnold just had as good a game as he has had as far as accuracy and all. I think that even Billy Joe Tolliver had a 400-yard passing game with 5 touchdowns for Texas Tech back in the day. Anybody can do it one day.
And Donald's got a good receiving call.
DJ Moore, man.
They just played really well, man. They executed. Our coverage wasn't bad. He threw it where it had to go. It's weird. We got beat
by Dan Arnold.
I like the way the cornerbacks looked. And Marcus Williams was great. The people are not going deep down the middle of the field.
Our secondary was not the reason we lost.
No, for sure.
All right. That's it for the game. And there's really not a whole lot of news. We are recording this Monday, so not a whole lot has come out as far as Saints headlines goes. So that means we're jumping right into pick 'ems.
Okay, so yeah, so out of us, the several of us that had picks in, Jeff and Scott both went 3-2. Wes, Uncle Baby Billy, and Ben went 2-3. I went 1-4. It might be some balls. And then James 0-5. So out of us, we've got Jeff at 7-3. Then we've got Scott 6-4. Wes and Uncle Baby Billy 5-5. Myself and Ben 3-7. And James is bringing up the rear at 2-8.
All right. In the larger league, Allie Gibbs remains at the top with an 8-2 record. 800%, followed by Big Easy Gaijon, who missed week one, so coming in week two, so with a winning percentage of 800, but a 4-1 record. So remember, we give everybody two passes. You can miss 2 weeks and still compete. Scott, Allie Gibbs, Big Easy Gaijon, me, Scott, the Mailman, Trevor Bruno, Uncle Baby Billy, Wes, Carp, Paul Perrette, Ben, James, Drummer, Mr. Coach Klein, Sans Hobbs, James, Chris Farmer, Jambalaya Bros, that's a new player, at Neil at 2-8, and Tom Ensign, Dad to Twins, 2-8. Neil did want us to point out whether or not he won or lost against Uncle Baby Billy, since Uncle Baby Billy called Neil out. So this week, Neil, you and Uncle Baby Billy have had the same record. But overall, Uncle Baby Billy is beating Neil.
Goddamn right.
With a 500 record, that's a 5-5, where Neil is 2-8.
God damn right he is. He's a lot of y'all motherfuckers.
He was waiting for that moment. All right, so getting in at first glance, it didn't seem like there were going to be decent enough games to pick, but I managed to find a few that should be a little interesting. A lot of high spreads this week. Our first game, the Chicago Bears, coming off a win at home against the Bengals last week. Andy Dalton gets hurt. So Justin Fields comes in. The Bears say that if Dalton's healthy, he's still going to be their quarterback. So at this point, we'll see what happens. They travel to Cleveland to play a Browns team. They got a nice, easy win last week. A couple of 1-1 teams here. This game's in Cleveland. And the Browns are favored by 7.5. I do know that Jarvis Landry left the game with an injury this week, so I don't know what his status is. Odell Beckham hadn't played week 1 or 2. But Cleveland is still favored by 7.5.
Is Baker hurt? Did I see that somewhere? Or did he come back out and play?
He came back in the game.
7.5 is a lot.
It seems like a lot.
I tell you what.
Chicago's shit, right?
Yeah. I'm going to. Man, that's tough. The reason why I like Bears defense is decent, but they're going to have what Fields probably making his start because Dalton is out. Give me the Browns. Fuck it.
Give me the Bears.
I'll take the Bears and the points.
Yeah.
Yeah, I swung it
in
the same as well.
I will also take the Bears and the points.
James, who are you taking?
The Browns.
Browns, all right.
Yeah, because if Justin Fields starts at quarterback, he was terrible yesterday.
Who's all taking right, Cleveland?
Me and James.
Scott and James.
Scott and James. Mm-hmm. Ooh, some separation.
All right, our next game. I guess this is probably the game of the weekend. Tampa Bay Bucks riding high at 2-0. Brady just throwing touchdowns, defying the odds in a completely non-PED way at 44 years old. They travel to Los Angeles to play the 2-0 Rams team, who are coming off another win this past weekend. Everybody's hyped on the Rams. It's going to be interesting to see. You know, this is going to be the game that gets all the chatter this week. And this is a pick'em game.
Ooh. I'm taking Tampa Bay in this one. Sorry.
I am as well. Taking the Bucks as well.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Rams.
I'm going to take the Rams. Better about taking Tampa Bay.
I'm going to take Tampa.
Separation in this. We've got James. James is, that's a hard thinking face, James.
Yes. Give me the Rams.
All right. 3-3.
Yeah.
Jason, who'd you take?
I took the Rams.
Split.
All right, our next game, the Green Bay Packers, who are going to be playing tonight. I think we're all predicting them to beat the Lions, so they would be 1-1. They travel to San Francisco, play a 2-0 San Francisco team coming off a nice win on the road at Philly. I don't know any major injury situations for Frisco, but this game's in San Francisco, and they're favored by 4.
They're trying out running backs today because I think they've got another running back injury yesterday. Okay.
So obviously, I would expect the spread to move after the game tonight. But as of now, it's San Francisco favored by four.
Man, this is tough because we haven't seen Green Bay this week.
Exactly.
Right.
Give me the 49ers.
All right. You know what?
It's like the Packers.
I picked against the 49ers this week and it hurt me. So I'm going to ride with the 49ers this week.
Yeah. Give me the 49ers as well.
Yep. I'm going to take the 49ers too.
Holy shit.
Green Bay.
Next game, the Washington football team coming off a dramatic last second win against the Giants on Thursday Night Football. Taylor Heineke working a little magic. They travel to Buffalo to play a Bills team that just destroyed the Dolphins this week. Just, I don't know what I was thinking picking Miami. I was stupid.
Nor me.
Right. So it's in Buffalo. Bills are favored by 9.
Yep. Give me the Bills. Give me the Bills.
Wow. You're taking the 9. You're taking the blowout, huh?
Yep.
It's good defense, though, Washington.
I don't think their defense is as good as you think.
Not when the Giants put 29 points on
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bills as well.
I'm going to take the Bills, too.
I'm going to go with Buffalo.
I'll take the points.
So you're taking Washington?
Yeah.
Man, that's a lot of points. I think I'm going to go with Wes on this one, taking the points. I mean, Buffalo wins this game, but not by 10.
They shut out Miami.
That's true. But they're not going to do it 2 weeks in a row.
They did have, what's his name, playing quarterback for them, didn't they, Miami? Tua went out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they knocked Tua out the game. They knocked Heineke out the
game. Jacoby Brissett, yeah.
Yeah, Brissett was playing, wasn't he?
All right, and now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go. No. Piece of shit card. I got a piece of shit card. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far.
I think everybody will have a little fun with this one. It's a pair of 0-2 teams, the Shitlanta Falcons. they're a wreck. They're a train wreck. They travel to New York to play a Giants team coming off that loss that they gave away with that offside on the missed field goal that allowed Washington another chance to kick it and make it. Daniel Jones could somehow play well against Washington, and that's about it. Pretty weird. But we also know how bad Atlanta sucks. This game is in New York. Giants are favored by 3.
Giants. Atlanta's defense is atrocious. They are atrocious.
What was the spread? I'm sorry.
3. Giants favored by 3.
Oh, give me the Giants.
Let's make it easier. Like, is there anybody taking Atlanta in this?
No.
No.
They're so bad. They honestly could be on route to number one pick.
Please let them get the number one pick and take Spencer Rattler because he's not very good either.
No. I hate that I'm even debating this, but I think the Giants are that bad too. But I'm going to pick the Giants. I'm not going to be the one guy to pick the fucking Falcons this week.
You'll never hear the end of it.
Right. So that's your pickems.
All right, everybody, get them in before kickoff. And when farmer. I like them, I've recorded them. All right. So now let's move into the Saints preview. Where the Saints are staying on the road and they're staying on the East Coast and they're heading to New England for some clam chowder.
Clam chowder. Jeff, would you say that we're road dogs?
Would you say so, we're going into a tailspin?
Oh, no. We have not crossed that threshold.
No, that's Atlanta. So, all right, what do you think, folks? The Saints are Jekyll and Hyde weeks, but with an anomaly to explain that one away. So we're probably going to be a little more optimistic about this game using Green Bay's experience. Our experience against Green Bay as our barometer more so than this last week. But New England, on the other hand, didn't they have a bad week one? And then they kind of rebounded this week.
They should have probably won week one against the Dolphins. They fumbled it away and they lost. But then this week they beat the Jets. The Jets stink.
Okay.
Mac Jones, completed 22 passes, only threw for 186 yards. They ran the ball for 101 as a team. I mean, they put up under 300 yards total offense. I mean, it's kind of a lot of, they still have James White at running back. They got Damian Harris. I mean, Jacoby Myers, I guess, is their best
receiver. Yeah, they don't have really any wide receivers.
They really don't.
They have Hunter Henry, it's a tight end, Myers, Jonnu Smith, Nelson Aguilar. I mean, they're going to be reliant, I think, on the run, which is our strength on defense. And if we're getting – I don't know who we're getting back defensively. I'm hoping maybe Lattimore might play.
CJ, maybe.
CJ, yeah, need CJ.
At least I don't see them being able to really put up a lot of points against us.
But can we move the ball?
That's going to be a question.
Our line has to – obviously the line
so has to Stephen, be Stephen Gilmore covering Callaway.
Well, no, I thought Gilmore was out.
Gilmore's on the pop list.
Is he? Oh, yeah. Touch.
I see this being a low-scoring game, maybe like a kicker-fest kind of game where we kick a lot of field goals and they kick a lot of field goals.
And I know it's not Brady up there anymore, but the Patriots have been historically really good at that stadium. Saints should have beat him 8 years ago, got a stupid non-hold call against our boy Junior. It's still a rookie quarterback.
But Green Bay's with only two games, though, they are sitting kind of in the middle of the field as far as offensive ranking, defensive ranking. They've run for 226 yards per this year, and they've allowed 226 yards this year. So that's over 100-yard rushers in both of their games that they've both executed and they've let up.
Could be a Kamara game or a Jones game. Maybe a Jones game where he just keeps pounding the ball.
So
is this accurate that they have 5 interceptions, though?
Yeah, but they played Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson did throw 4 yesterday. 4
yesterday.
Okay.
So they played Tua and Zach Wilson. So
an interception-prone quarterback may struggle against this team.
I don't think Jameis is interception-prone.
What? Squeeze me?
I don't think Jameis is. He's thrown 2 interceptions. They were bad, but I don't think Jameis is
your offseason narrative.
I don't think – I'm not going into this again. I'm not getting sucked in. I'm not getting sucked in.
Serenity now.
All right. So my score prediction, I think the Saints win. I say 18-12, all field goals on both sides of the ball.
Well, I'm glad I'm going to not do the instant reaction in this one. I'm going to go for 28-24, the Saints.
I am actually going to go the other way and say the Saints lose this game 17-14.
Blasphemy.
As much as I don't want to see it, I think we lose this game. We beat the Giants. So we're sitting there 2-2.
I'll go 21-12 Saints.
I think
Passignon, Lattimore, and Gardner Johnson are all back, and I think that Mac Jones struggles with that.
Let's see more Peyton Turner. I'm excited.
24-14 Saints.
Yeah, I like that.
What's the spread at the moment?
I'm going to say 27-17 Saints. Because, Jason, what you forget is the Sean Payton effect. Sean Payton Sean Payton always bounces back from a devastating shit-the-bed type of loss.
That was the worst offensive – yards wise, worst offensive appearance in Sean Payton era.
Yeah,
the Pats are favored by 3 at home. So
I'd say about that's about right.
Right, it's a pick 'em.
Yeah.
Look, I think we're the better team, but I just worry we're still gonna have guys miss.
I mean that's a factor, but
at least it's not too cold this time of year going up there.
Yeah, it should be actually the Brock of the black. jerseys should be fine.
Is it a 12 o'clock start?
Yes.
Yes.
Good. All right. Final thoughts. Scott, we'll let you go first since you have to leave.
Keep pounding.
All right.
And eat your chicken wings.
Anybody final thoughts instead of going
just
old X?
Just get healthy. That's my final thought. Get healthy.
Yeah, just try to get to the bye with as good a record as possible. If we can go there at 500 with all the players we've got coming back after the bye, we should be fine.
The Saints didn't win the Super Bowl after week one, killing the Packers. We didn't just lose our chance at the playoffs by losing this past week to the Panthers. Long season. There's a lot still going on. A lot of time to get healthy. And I mean, I hate it, but there's a lot of excuses for why we lost this last game. So it's a long season. We've got a long couple games ahead of us while we figure out what this team really is this year.
I've got one just quickly. As listeners probably hear now, we are missing Ash. He has said that he isn't doing the podcast anymore, so he won't be on the podcast. But I want to thank Ash for back in a time when we were the UK Saints podcast, helping create that show and build what it is now to being with you guys. So I wish Ash all the best in the future, what he's going to do with his Saints Twitter group. And keep listening, Ash, and thank you for everything you've done.
All right, we'll pour a little out for Ash. Obviously, if Ash ever wants to come on as a guest, he's more than welcome to come on and curse us all out.
Also Ryder Cup week. So only time you'll hear me say this, but go in Europe.
All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United network of podcasts. We also want to welcome a lot of our new listeners. We noticed that we're starting to pick up a bunch of listeners. Sometimes the Saints winning helps with that. But
we've got five listeners now.
Your referrals, right? Your referrals help with that as well. Tell everybody, you only need to subscribe to one feed. You get multiple shows, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, which is greatly entertaining, more so after a loss than a win. The Dome Patrol podcast, the BS and Beer Saints podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and the Tiger's Den. Follow each show on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, at Dome Patrol UK, at BS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, at Tiger_podcast, and at Dome Patrol Prim. Follow us on Facebook and check us out on Twitch for live streams, twitch.tv/Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen to us the old fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, donkeys.
Good night, Houdat Nation.